Well, in Raleigh, there has been a lot of talk about class sizes. General Assembly recently imposed a mandate requiring school districts to reduce class sizes for grades K through 3. Unfunded mandate, though, so school districts are having to scramble this year to try to pull resources from other needed areas in order to meet that mandate. That's got a lot of people in Raleigh lobbying the General Assembly to either repeal that mandate or provide funding for it, partly because those other areas that school districts are pulling funds from are equally necessary and equally valuable, if not more so, and also because a lot of education experts say reducing class sizes doesn't have the significant effect that a lot of people think it does. But that begs the question, what actually does work in terms of improving education at the K-3 level and beyond? Last week, we had Sharon Barrett here in the studio talking about the lobbying efforts in the General Assembly and all of the people who were heading to Raleigh to talk with legislators trying to get them to repeal that mandate. But we got to talking about other programs and other policies that do work. We had to cut that conversation short last week because we were talking about the lobbying efforts, but I wanted to get Sharon back here to talk about other policies and programs that do have a positive effect in terms of improving classroom performance. So we're joined now in the studio by Sharon Barrett and also Lucy Steiner, both with Public Impact, an organization that advocates for educational reform. Sharon, Lucy, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
Aaron. So Sharon, let me start with you and let's pick up the conversation from a week ago. We're talking about class sizes and you mentioned a program called Multi-Classroom Leaders. Opportunity Culture is the program. And this is something that is being implemented in a variety of different school districts and it's having a really positive effect and not everyone knows about it because it's just kind of getting off the ground. So tell us again about the MCL program for people who don't know.
So this is in several districts in North Carolina and others nationally that seeks to extend the reach of excellent teachers to more students, many more students, for higher pay, but within regular school budgets. And so that's what we were talking about last week, that one of the ways that that's done is through what we call multi-classroom leadership. So it's taking excellent teachers who would like to expand their reach and take on a teacher leadership role so that they begin leading small teams of teachers. And Lucy works in a lot of the districts. She oversees all of this work that Public Impact does to help districts implement that. So Lucy can tell you a little bit of the details.
Yeah, let's turn it over to Lucy. So how does this program work?
So districts approach us and say that they're interested in exploring the idea of an opportunity culture. And then we work with the districts to set up sort of the parameters of the work that are going to be specific to that district. So how much will the teachers be paid in stipends for these roles? What roles will be offered to the schools and those kind of things? So the multi-classroom leader role is generally one that all of our districts have embraced, especially. And so it's a question of sort of what level of multi-classroom leader they want to include in their career path. But then we turn to the schools and work with principals and teacher teams to figure out how to implement in their specific environment. Is it going to be, for you mentioned the class size reduction, are we going to focus on K-2, for example, with this program? Or are we going to focus just on reading for the first year? Are we going to focus on certain grade levels? The goal, of course, is to have opportunity culture teachers extend their reach to the students in the four core subjects across the whole school, but often school teams decide to implement over the course of 3 years.
So how are teachers identified that can serve as multi-classroom leaders?
That is such a great question, because if we don't do a great job identifying those teachers, then the whole program pretty much falls apart. Mm. So we sort of negotiate and discuss that at the district level, but in every case, the selection process includes a couple of different qualities. And one of them is that they can prove that they've gotten strong outcomes with students prior. And of course, in Illinois, that looks a little different. In North Carolina, we do rely on test scores to some degree, but that, again, looks really different in different places. Sometimes that's That sometimes that's interim test scores, sometimes it's year-end test scores and things like that. But that's determined at the district level. But in addition, and I would say like equally as importantly, do they have the qualities to lead and coach other teachers? And so do they have sort of the innate traits that we want to see, like great interpersonal skills, an ability to negotiate, an ability to offer, you know, helpful advice and support in a way that people are going to be able to receive it.
Is this reputation that teachers build up over time, basically?
It's reputation, but we actually have an interview technique that we think can kind of get at some of those traits.
Okay.
Where we ask them to describe in great detail how they've worked in the past, and then we're sort of able to see how they handled challenges and things like that. And we try to use that a little bit, I won't say scientifically based, but a little more scientifically based way of determining if they have those traits. And then also districts have cultures and qualities and values that they think are really important. And so we also make sure that our selection process values what the district already values. So if it's inclusivity, if it's diversity, if it's an ability to work across cultures, then those are things we want to make sure are part of our selection process.
And I think that's really important too, because, you know, we talk about local control of schools and home rule for counties and cities. This is something that's come up again and again and again in North Carolina, but the importance of letting school districts set their own policies and identify their own priorities, I think is really cool too.
And that's one of my favorite parts of the process, is this sort of determining what the selection criteria. Mm-hmm. So in Vance County, which is one of the counties we're in Edgecombe County, that looks different. A little, you know, those are not the same places. And so local control and even sort of school level input is incredibly important to us.
And you have otherwise teachers feel like there's just, you know, the reform of the month kind of thing coming along.
Right,
the latest initiative that they have to deal with. And this is specifically designed so that teachers and principals are making the decisions for themselves. And so they feel enthusiastic from the start.
Speaking with Sharon Barrett, you just heard her, Lucy Steiner, both from Public Impact. PublicImpact.com is their website if you want to go online and find out more about the organization. We're talking about Opportunity Culture is the name of this program, establishing what are called multi-classroom leaders, identifying teachers, and then kind of putting them in charge of how exactly does it work, Lucy? You take you identify the teachers, you identify them as multi-classroom leaders, and then they start working in multiple classrooms, right, with different teachers?
Right, and so there's different models, and again, mm-hmm. the schools get to determine this, but let's say you have a teacher who teaches a third grade class, but part of the day they're given release time in order to be able to float to support the teachers on their team. And one of the key aspects of the work is that those teams can't be too large. So we're talking four or five other teachers that they work with, no more. So, and they do a lot of, you know, the other real part of this initiative is to professionalize the teaching profession. And so what they do in those classrooms with those teachers is up to them. There's guidance, and of course the principal is going to be seeing sort of that they're doing generally getting good results, but they're really they decide on a day-to-day basis. Does this teacher need me to go in there and co-teach a lesson with them because they've never done this before? Does this teacher need me to go and work with a small group of kids in their classroom? Do they need me to go observe them and offer feedback on a particular skill that they're working on? So there's a lot of professional discretion in what they do.
It's got to be good, too, just to get multiple eyes on a classroom and see how different teachers conduct classes and just the opportunity to get feedback that way, right?
Yes. I think that a lot of our schools, I think there's, you know, all of us know that schools are pretty, have pretty strong cultures around, this is my classroom, I'm going to do what I want in my classroom. And so an opportunity culture seeks to kind of introduce ways for folks to collaborate, to break that down so that people feel more comfortable walking in and out of each other's classroom, learning from each other.
And those multi-classroom leaders are taking accountability for the results of all the students in their teaching team. So we can be talking many hundreds of students, and that's an incentive then for the multi-classroom leader to make sure that the instruction that's happening is consistent in all of their classes and very high quality. And most of them say, I think I have the fun job at Public Impact because I get to spend a lot of time out doing videotaped interviews with the MCLs and hearing about their jobs. And they tell me that they're not afraid of that accountability, that they know that what they do or what they did worked in their single classroom, and what they really want is that chance to make it work for many more students. And so the teachers they're leading are following their methods, using their materials. Often they're doing the lesson plans to get that consistent those consistent results.
So that's the program. What have been the sort of tangible, measurable results once it's been implemented? Where has it been implemented? You mentioned Vance, Edgecombe, where else?
So we're in about 20 districts across the country in 9 states. So as far west as Arizona and Texas, Indianapolis, Syracuse, New York. We're also in North Carolina, Charlotte, Mecklenburg, Cabarrus County, Vance County, Edgecombe County. So we're in those districts now and growing.
Yes. And then what have been the results?
So the results, we've been internally collecting data and see that there have been some improvements in the classrooms of the where the multi-classroom leaders have been teaching, for sure. We saw some pretty exciting growth, school-level growth results in Charlotte in particular. But what we're most excited about recently is that we had a third-party study, an evaluation done by the Brookings Institution and the American Institutes for Research that was just released last week. And so what that saw, looking at teachers across 3 districts, Charlotte, Cabarrus, and Syracuse, New York, is that teachers who started out in about the 50th percentile for student learning gains, meaning they're about average in terms of across the state or across their state with other teachers, actually those team teachers moved up into the top 25%, so 75 to 85%. So they became what, and that's actually our definition of an excellent teacher, are those teachers in that top 25%. Mm-hmm. So we were pretty excited to see the growth that happened among those team teachers, according to this study.
Awesome. So is this something that has been sort of equally applicable across the board? Have you found districts where this hasn't worked as well, or districts where it's worked better? Or is this pretty much something that can be implemented in any district anywhere?
Well, those are 2 different questions. I think, yes, it can be implemented anywhere with fidelity. And I do believe that implemented with fidelity and with a lot of input from teachers and principals, this is a very successful program. I mean, every district struggles with something new. And so it isn't always implemented easily or quickly or with fidelity. So that is actually my job, to work with districts and help ensure fidelity and work with them over time. So there's lots of places where just because of the local context and things, it's difficult to make decisions quickly. So I would say that timing is often a struggle in especially large urban districts.
But those large urban districts are the ones often who are finding this especially appealing for their schools. This works and is fabulous for schools at any level, but especially schools that have just been persistently struggling and they feel like we don't have any more ideas. What else can we do? This has proved especially appealing, and I hear from multi-classroom leaders over and over again some variation of, I don't know if this came at a pivotal point in my career. I don't know if I would still be doing education if I hadn't had the opportunity to expand my reach and make more money and move up without having to leave students. Lots of our MCLs had gotten their certification to be principals and just didn't quite want to make the move, but felt like there was no other choice than to leave the classroom if they wanted to move up. And now they can continue to expand their reach. And in the schools where they have really been struggling, we see huge benefits. We have an MCL in Charlotte who took on a teaching team that had been seeing negative growth for 3 years with their students. And they were so frustrated. Those teachers were trying so hard and just not making progress. And she came in and they used her methods and her way of looking at student data to understand how to improve instruction and turned that team around. And those students began exceeding the growth expectations. And that's a fairly typical story that we see. And then we also see it on the other end, that a school that said, we really thought we were doing fine, realized that in fact their high-flying kids were not flying as much as they should. And so they were able then to focus on growth for those kids as well.
Speaking with Sharon Barrett again and Lucy Steiner, publicimpact.com is the website for more information on public impact. We're talking about opportunity culture. We're talking about multi-classroom leaders. Let's abstract this up a level just for a second. We're talking about this particular program, but just sort of in general, with the research you've done, the work that you've done in schools with teachers, with students, with administrators, what are, just sort of generally speaking, the programs or the the goals or the aims for public education reform that you have found to work the best, and which sort of popular ones may not work as well as people think they do?
Oh, that's such a big question, Aaron.
I'll just take a step back and let you talk about it for the next 20 minutes.
I think that we need to tackle how we recruit and retain teachers. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm pretty invested in talent strategies. Obviously, opportunity culture is a talent strategy. But I really think, I mean, I read statistics about fewer and fewer people going into education at all. Education schools in some states are really suffering in terms of even people who want to graduate in education. And so I think we're in a bit of a crisis in some places. And so changing the paradigm so people want to come into education, they want to make this a career, I think is really, really important. So I'm very interested in strategies that bring teachers into schools, but then also offer them the support when they first start so that they stick around and they get better and they like it and they want to stay.
So like getting the right people into classrooms and sharing. Yeah. I remember last week we were talking about, reducing class size is a great idea, but that creates an increased demand for teachers. And without professional development, without active recruitment and retention, you're kind of hiring people that you wouldn't otherwise hire, maybe, and that reduces the quality of education.
That's
in the
right.
classroom.
And we hear, again, from so many of the teachers in the schools that we work in talking about how they just feel like no one respects teaching. Mm-hmm. And as Lucy said, this helps to make them feel like they're being treated like professionals, that we are paying you what you're worth. And part of one of the crucial aspects of an opportunity culture is that higher pay comes from reallocating the regular school budget so that this is sustainable. Because many of the programs you were asking, what other things work, there are many programs that you can look at and see that they have some success, but they are funded by a grant. And so then it's going to go away in a few years. Those teaching roles will disappear. And so this is one of the things that we really love to hear in the interviews that we're doing, how much they feel like, now I have respect, now I can share what I know and support new teachers who are coming in completely overwhelmed. I have a video of a teacher talking about how I came in as a first-year teacher and I'm going to leave as a third-year teacher because of the support from my MCL. And she speaks very passionately about, I am not going to be a statistic. I'm not going to be one of those people who leaves the teaching profession in 5 years because I have all the support that I need to get better fast and not feel burned out within a few years.
We got to wrap up here in a second, but before we go, other things that people need to know about public impact, about MCLs, about education reform in general? It's an even bigger question than the last one. I just go up and up.
I would say, the thing to know about the work that we're doing is that we hope that it will continue to spread across North Carolina for sure, because we love our state and love seen teachers in this state who have felt pretty beaten down feel respected again. And so we're always happy to spread the word about this just because it's so exciting to hear the difference that it's making for teachers. We focused in this conversation on teachers, but the real impact, of course, is on students. And the students who now have multiple people keeping an eye on them, because there's the MCL who's coming into your classroom several times a week at least, helping your teachers. And you have, for these MCLs, it's not just about student growth results. It's these people are being chosen because they have that ability to connect with kids. And so those folks are the ones every parent wants for their kids. It's the teacher who connects emotionally with your kid, who understands your teaching or your learning needs and your learning styles. It's the one who sets really high standards for you as a student, but then gives you the tools to reach those high standards. And I just find that so exciting for student growth at all levels, for students at all levels, as well as for keeping teachers happier in the profession. Can I tell you one more story?
Yeah, go for it.
So I often in these interviews that I do, I get slightly weepy at some points in them because the teachers are so happy to be telling me, and they'll tell us very upfront about the challenges in the role too. This is not an easy role by any stretch to be an MCL, or to be working in some of the challenging schools that we're in, but they're usually telling me also just the difference that it's made in their lives. And we recorded a conversation not all that long ago of an MCL with her team teacher the team teacher had been put on an action plan, which basically means you are put on notice that you have to get better fast, before she started working with the MCL, then started on this MCL's team. A year later, she was that school's teacher of the year. Mm. And I mean, talk about weepy. None of us had a dry eye by the time we were done in that interview. And while that's a pretty outstanding story, it's those sorts of things that we hear over and over again.
Lucy Steiner, last word?
Yeah, I guess I would just think for the public who listens to programs like this, just I think there's something sound very intuitively right, like lower class size just seems, it makes sense, right? Fewer kids would make it easier for a teacher. But I think oftentimes those simple solutions are probably going to have unintended consequences. And so look deeper at reform efforts and see, I think we always should invest in people, and people are what make the difference for our students. And so look for things that invest in people.
PublicImpact.com is the website for Public Impact. Go there and find out more. Lucy Steiner, Sharon Barrett, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.